The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, a young man with a bright future is now serving a life sentence for murder.
1 year after their marriage, we got that middle of the night call that no parent ever wants to get. And I'll never forget looking at my husband as he pulled that receiver away from his ear and he said, "Carol, Jason has been arrested for the murder of his wife's first husband."
Facing the overwhelming obstacles of life and discovering divine surprises between a rock and a grace place. Next.
I sure like you three boys out here that admitted y'all were brothers earlier sitting up here. And you know, the way you welcome, the way y'all are clapping and welcoming, it really just make us feel welcome and it really encourages us. Y'all, you're fine boys, you know, and I love your smiles. I love what I sensed when I talked to you earlier about the fact y'all love each other. And obviously love your family. They told us they didn't know. We didn't know this. They didn't know. I go to Gateway Church, Betty and I do, in South Lake, and they're going there now. Hey, I'm James Robinson. This is Betty, my wife. These are my buddies that were sitting up here, and I love everybody in this audience. Love all of you. We welcome you to Life Today. We're glad you're here. We've got one of our real good friends. We've got, you know, we don't ever have anybody on that we don't love. We don't have anybody on that we don't think have a real meaningful story. Carol Kent is our guest today. She is a truly gifted communicator. Now, you know, we have Beth Moore every week. Wednesdays with Beth, she's a gifted communicator. And so when you begin to look at people who are gifted to communicate, you think, well, are they all pretty similarly gifted? Well, let me tell you, yes. And do they have a communication style that is unique to themselves? You better believe it. She is so articulate. She is so, I believe, truly gifted of God to communicate not only verbally but in writing. And I'm holding a book here. Now, we'll get this title. Between a rock, and you know we normally say a hard place. We call it between a rock and a hard place. Mm-hmm. A rock and a grace place. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, her hard place became a grace place because the son she loved so much, he made an awful, awful error, a grave mistake. He committed murder. He thought in behalf of those he loved. But nevertheless, he didn't receive grace to not be in prison for the rest of his life. He's got a life sentence, an unpardonable life sentence, no parole ever. He's in prison. Carol came here and talked to us about it, Betty, in the midst of the journey when they didn't know what the verdict would be. So we've been praying for Carol a long time, but now she found herself in that rocking hard place that became miraculously a grace place, and she's going to tell us about her son, her journey, and the place where she finds herself now. Would you welcome Carol Kent back to Life Today? Carol, glad to see you.
Thank you, James. So good to see you, Betty.
Well, there you are. Between a rock and a hard place that you say has become a grace place.
I'll tell you, James, if you would have given me 100 possible things that could have happened to our family, this would not have been it, but it is where we live our life. Our son was a joy to raise. He's an only child, and he was in Little League and went fishing with his grandpa, got into high school, was president of the National Honor Society, and just showed great promise. And he came home from camp and he said, "I really want to do something that matters with my life." And he said, "I think God wants me to serve in military and maybe even in political leadership. And I believe the best place I could get equipped to do that would be at the United States Naval Academy." Well, he received the appointment and we were there in May of 1997 when on national television, all of those midshipmen tossed their hats in the air. And we as the proud parents were just cheering him on, expecting great things out of the future. He went off to nuclear engineering school in Orlando, Florida, joined a great church, and there were women in the young adult Bible study, and by the end of summer, he had fallen in love with a young woman who was previously married and had two precious little girls. And he fell hard and fast, and we put together a very quick wedding, and we so celebrated the joy of becoming grandparents as well as in-laws on the very same day. Little Chelsea had been in our house less than a half an hour before she came rushing up to me, grabbed my hand in her two hands, kissed all over it, and said, "You're my new favorite Grammy." Well, that'll warm my heart really fast. And little Hannah would sit at my kitchen counter and sing songs about how much she loved Jesus. But there were multiple allegations of abuse against the biological father of the girls, and he was trying to get unsupervised visitation, and it looked, legally speaking, like that was going to happen. And in retrospect, we saw our son unravel emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And 1 year after their marriage, we got that middle-of-the-night call that no parent ever wants to get. And I'll never forget looking at my husband as he pulled that receiver away from his ear, and he said, "Carol, Jason has been arrested for the murder of his wife's first husband. He's in the jail in Orlando." We went through 2.5 years and 7 postponements of his trial. And the court TV cameras were there. The news media wanted to zoom in on the grieving, weeping mama, and it felt like the worst invasion of privacy I've ever known. And I will never forget when they told us the verdict had been reached. We all gathered in the cameras scrambled to be in place, and the cameramen were there, and all of a sudden, the verdict was read. "We, the members of the jury, find Jason Paul Kent guilty of murder in the first degree." And then, because Florida is a state of mandatory minimum sentences, we knew instantly what the sentence would be. It's either the death penalty or life without parole. And the death penalty had been removed earlier since it was Jason's first offense. And he was asked to stand, and the judge said, "I sentence you, Jason Paul Kent, to live out the rest of your natural life in a Florida state penitentiary without the possibility of parole. I now believe it is possible to die of a broken heart." We got back to the house and we could hardly speak to each other. We just sobbed and held each other. And 2 hours later, Jason called. He said, "Mom and Dad, they brought me back to the faith-based area of the jail." And by this time, he'd been there so long, 2.5 years, he was the cell coordinator in the faith-based area. And many maximum security inmates had come to faith. And he said the news of my conviction and sentence had already hit the jail. And he said these big old maximum security inmates were weeping as he came back in. And they said, "Jason, if a man like you got a sentence like this, man, there is no hope for us. There's no hope." And I knew he was going to be okay when he said, "God gave me the ability to stand up and preach." And I said, "Men, if we walk in freedom in this lifetime or in the next, we will still one day walk in freedom if we know Jesus." And so this book, James and Betty, is about pressing into the sweet spot of grace when you are in such a hard place, you have nowhere else to go. And so many times I've found myself beating into the chest of God saying, "Why? This boy had such potential. He was the apple of our eye." But I can't resist leaning into his embrace, and there I find divine surprises.
Gosh. Whew, you know, I'm kind of a wreck.
You're a nice wreck, James. You're a compassionate wreck.
I want to say I don't want to question God, but I do, as I know Carol has, and I've questioned about a lot of things in my journey, you know, with fatherlessness and failure and missing the mark and disappointing God and others through my life. And yet, as I've grown older, and he's deepened, and you said it is compassion to suffer with, as I was listening to Carol, then it's the same way when I see anybody hurting. That's what's why I get so disturbed about, and really I get a little bit angry, which is the total flip side of the broken heart. Over the fact that so many people are being hurt by bad decisions on the part of leaders and a church that simply slumbers and sings louder while people are in misery and pain and while national leaders make mistakes. So it disturbs me. But the reason I'm this way is I identify with where people are. Mm-hmm. So when you were telling your story as a mother,
yes,
I'm feeling it.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit has more feminine characteristics than masculine, I promise you. And believe me, that's one of the God's why women are such a powerful force and influence on the planet. because in so many ways they're probably a lot more godlike than we men are in many ways, beautiful attributes. But God has really broken my heart, so I feel what you were talking about. It's empathy, it's an identity, and I feel it with the starving, and I really don't apologize for it. I've asked God why you make me this way and let me be this way, but I am. I feel what she's talking about.
Well, I do too, James, especially as a mother, because mothers are supposed to be able to fix things for their kids.
Yes.
You know, when they come in with their little hurts and their scratches and things mothers can do to fix. But Carol, you were in a place, and are in a place, you can't fix this.
Well, it has gone on for many years now, Betty, and Christmas was approaching again one year, and I was going through those struggles of we'll be eating out of the vending machines and we won't be at our wonderful festive celebration at home with our family, feeling sorry for myself. And it was 9:15 at night and my doorbell rang. And I thought, well, who's stopping by? It's too late for a delivery. And Jean met me at the door and turned the porch light on. And nobody was there. There wasn't a car there, not a human being, but the doorbell had been rung. We opened the door, and there was this beautiful Christmas gift on our porch, just gorgeous bow, metallic wrapping, and it had a card on it, and it said, Mom. And I had this flash of who has played the most cruel joke on me that could ever be played. But I was curious. I am a mom, and it was my porch, and we brought the gift in, and I opened the card, and it was from my son. It said, Dear Mom, I've been incarcerated for several years now, and you and Dad have given and given and given to me, and I've never been able to give to you. And with the help of a good friend this year, I have the privilege of giving you a special Christmas gift. And I opened it up, and it was a beautiful russet-colored silk jacket, tailor-made as if it was just made for me. I fit it on and felt like a princess. And at the end of the note, he said, Mom, I hope every time you wear this, you'll know how much I love you. Wow. And God is showing us that when we're between a rock and a grace place, there really are divine surprises in the form of splashes of joy through the compassionate acts of other people, through the favor they give to us, through the unexpected mercy that people shower us with.
Jason has given her a typical day in the prison, and it's just broken down hour by hour. And it took a lot of time to just say, here's the day. And it wasn't like, here's my sad day. It's just, here's my day. And so she read the day, but after he had sent the agenda, he then sent this. And I'm only going to read a portion of it, but listen to, Dear Mom, yesterday I felt I was able to love, encourage, and bless you for once, where normally I've been the recipient of your love. It was a privilege for me to give back to you. God has been filling me with more of himself, and I am truly at peace. This is in prison for life, away from his children, his wife, his family. Out of his peace and love within, it's easy to pour it out on others. But it's a special treat to pour it out on you, Mom. I love you. I'm grateful for how you've always been there for me, and you've tried to comfort, protect, rescue, and help me throughout my life. God is doing something powerful within me. I'm very aware I'm unworthy. I find myself often speaking words that sustain the weary. And he goes on to talk about his great God. It's an awesome God, this grace that you find between the rock and the hard place. It can become a grace place. You said that you wanted to share one of the concluding things about surprised by the adventure you were on, that you share in the book, and you wanted to share it with us and our audience.
Well, James, I was speaking in Atlanta 2 years ago, and I had been asked to share our story. And the next week, I received an email from a woman named Tammy Wilson. And she said, Carol, I heard you speak last week, and I want to thank you for showing compassion to the families of the victims as well as telling your own story, because there's always so much pain on both sides. And she said, my own mother was murdered 13 years ago, and when I got home, I looked your son up on the internet, and I discovered that he is in the very same prison that the man who murdered my mother is in. And his name is Matthew Ben Rodriguez, and I have been praying for Matthew to come to faith in Christ for several years. She said, do you think your son would share the gospel with Matt? and try to lead them to the Lord? Well, I'm not allowed to initiate phone calls to my son, so I printed that letter, put it in an envelope, and sent it to Jason. And a few days later, I was in the prison at visitation, and Jason came out, and I greeted him, and I said, Jason, do you know Matthew Rodriguez? He said, Mom, he's one of my best friends. He's in my biblical counseling class. He's a dynamic believer. He said, we don't live in the same quad, so I couldn't speak with him immediately, but after counseling class, I said to him, hey, Matt, is your middle name Ben? He said, well, yes. How would you know that? He said, Matthew Ben Rodriguez? He said, yes. He said, well, then, Matt, I have a letter for you. And Jason handed Matthew the letter from the daughter of the woman he had murdered 13 years earlier, saying that that she was praying for him to come to faith in Christ. And Matthew began to sob. And Jason said, Mom, you'll see Matt today. He's coming to visit his sister, who will be in the visitation area shortly. And a half hour later, out came his sister and out came Matthew, and they embraced. And then Matt came over to our table, and he already had tears streaming down both cheeks. And he got down on his knees, and he grabbed my hands, and he said, Mrs. Kent, thank you so much for sending that letter. He said, I had already written a 5-page letter to Tammy Wilson and her family, asking for their forgiveness for taking the most precious person they knew. Tammy had a sister, a brother who had not yet graduated from high school. It was a terrible loss to their family. But he said, I've had nowhere to send the letter. Every attempt I've made to find an address for this family fails. Will you ask her if she'll receive my letter? I said, I sure will, Matt. I got home and I emailed Tammy Wilson, and that same night she sent a note back with her address. And since that time, multiple letters have gone back and forth between Tammy and Matt, and Matt and the sister, and Matt and Patrick, their brother, and there has been forgiveness and reconciliation and redemption that we can only explain by God's mathematics. And I believe nothing can touch us. No rock, no tough place can touch us without God's permission, and He can use it as a platform upon which we can have the greatest adventure in serving Him. I don't want to serve the Lord through prison ministry. That wasn't on my agenda. And now people say, where do you go to church? And they're waiting for me to say what the denomination is. And I say, we go to the Church of the Razor Wire. And then they say, well, what denomination is that? And Saturdays and Sundays are visit days. So when we're out in ministry on a Saturday, we take the last flight home on Saturday or the earliest on Sunday so we can see Jason. And we have our little service there in the prison. And priceless things happen there. One day we were sharing scriptures, and then my sister began to sing, To God Be the Glory, and my mama joined in her alto, and my daddy in his monotone, and then the next thing I knew, people at the table next to ours were singing, and then the table next to that one. And I thought, we are having a church service at Hardy Correctional Institution, and it is good. And we've been favored.
You all blessed hearing about the grace of God here in this audience? I need to just say to you, listen to me, please, please. This is not about a God that is untouchable, mystical, some fiction, somebody's imagination. This is the real living God. Wants to live in us. Wants to live in you. Loves you. I mean, the people here sitting in this room, we've had lots of pain. Oh, what a mighty God. What a mighty God. What a loving God. What a grace-filled God. Do this not only for a mom with a son in prison, but the son in prison. And really the only reason some of you are not rejoicing in your church service is that you're in prison yourself. You're in bondage. You're defeated. You won't let the grace of God lift you up. We don't have to live trampled down. We can be overcomers in this life. But some of you never even met this life of God in Christ. Father, I pray everyone watching would just as a child in their heart receive you as their Father and Jesus as their Savior. You can ask God right now to become your Father. Invite Jesus into your heart. It's what He wants to be, your Savior, your Lord, your friend. I want to let you know that this book is in the bookstores. We'd gladly send it to you. I tell you what we'd like to ask you to do. would like to ask you to help us share grace and love, not just in word, but in action. We'd like to ask you to literally, please become an answer to prayer. You're going to hear some prayers that you can be the answer to.
Father God, I come to you right now. And I ask you to perform a miracle in this child, God. Please stop its suffering, Jesus. God, I ask you to put your hand on this child and heal him.
Lord Jesus, you've made this child. You gave this child life. We ask that you will touch this body. Lord, give it the nutrition that it needs.
We pray for a miracle for her, Lord. She needs food, but she needs your miraculous touch too, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I just ask you to let the food we give him be a nourishment to his body and quickly restore him in Jesus' name.
I pray from the bottom of my heart that you would raise them up as a great shining light in a country so desperately in need. God bless them. Bless this hospital. Bless these nurses. And God bless these boys. Raise them up in Jesus' name.
Lord, I pray that you would move in this village and that you would move through us, God. We praise you, Lord. We thank you that you are the God who knows. You are the God who heals. And you are the God who provides. Use us, Lord, as your instruments. Use us as your servants. In Jesus' name, amen.
You heard the prayers of our grandson. You heard Beth Moore. You heard Billy Graham's daughter, Ruth, praying. Our grandson's prayer for a child they thought would not live another day or two was saved. We actually have a picture of that little boy saved because somebody like you said, I'll get food for that child and others. All of the others, we don't know. We have seen miracles happen. We have seen the lives saved. It's not like we're looking for a cure. We know what it is. It's just food. It's nourishment. And that's why we have the mission feeding emphasis. And right now, we're in the last week, Betty. This is we need a miracle. We feel the impact of people who feel financial strain. We know there's a world food crisis and shortage in many areas. And we sense that and we feel it. And right now, I can tell you in the last days, right now, this last week, we need a miracle response. We need the greatest response we have ever experienced in our mission feeding. $30, $50. $100, we can feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. If you would help us, and by the way, don't think that $30 gift is meager and not important. How important it is for 3 children. But we need to hear from you. Would you put your arms around 3 children or 5 children? And let me tell you this, I'll always ask you to help as many as you can. If you could help 10 children, do it. But if it's 3, please do it. Would you make that call? Please do it right now. Go to the phone, get your bank card. Use it like a check or write a check. Make it to Life because that's precisely what you're giving. Lifetoday.org if you want to make the gift online. Many people are doing that now and we thank you for that. But if you write a check and plan to mail it, please do it. Mail it today. But call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail because we need to hear from you this last week. We have some very special gifts for you to bless you as you help us share life. We want to bless your life as you help us give life to others. Thank you so much for making that call. Thanks for the gift.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 500,000 children throughout remote areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Southern Africa facing its worst conditions and food shortage in more than 2 decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the God's Kingdom in You audio series and companion scripture guide. James and Betty Robison, along with Beth Moore, inspire you to live every day in the power and presence of God. With your gift of $125 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request both the video DVD and audio series with scripture guide. As a bonus, we'll also send you Jim Hilton's new book, The Supernatural Skyline. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, and be sure to request the beautiful new Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. This is the last week. Call, write, or make your gift online.
It's very, very important that we hear from you. This is the last week, and I do want to mention that if you'd like to have Carol Kent's book, Between a Rock and a Grace Place, and boy, has she found that amazing grace, we'll gladly send it to you for any gift, just to say thank you. And we have other gifts that, of course, we'll be sending. I want to say thanks to Carol Kent. Would those of you in the audience like to join us? Thanks, Carol. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing with us the grace of God. Jason,
thank you.
Bless you, Jason. Bless all those prisoners. Amen. You can be free while you're in prison.
That's right.
We love you.
Connect with Life Today through your favorite social media sites. Just go to lifetoday.org and click Connect.
He said that he saw five angels carry me out of the car.
A terrible car accident, a miracle, and the boy who came back from heaven. Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.